I don't know, when you go to a restaurant, are you the kind of person that looks at the desserts first? Okay, some of you are. And because if you look at the desserts first, you've got some idea how much you need to eat to ready yourself for dessert, right? And or if you go to someone's house and they say, do you want any more? And you think, I'm not sure what's coming next, so how do I know if I want any more? I mean, if it's a fruit salad, which I'm not sure I even like, but then you have it, fruit salads are amazing. I might have another bit of chicken. The point is, I don't know whether to kind of give you an idea of where we're heading today or not. So if you're someone that wants to see what's on the dessert trolley, here it is. If someone doesn't want to know and wants to be surprised, then just put your finger in your ears or tune out. You're good at tuning out for a moment or two. But I want, because it's going to be familiar but a little bit different, but different in a survivable way. Okay, so nothing nasty is going to happen. So one of the things we try and do every now and then with the contemplative service, this one, the last in the month, is to kind of take our foot off the gas of what we're learning and what we're trying to do and just let some of the words of Scripture dwell richly in us. And that's what we're going to do today, looking at this last bit of chapter 3 of Ephesians, where Paul kind of finishes his whole argument of the first half of the book of Ephesians by summing it up in this wonderful prayer, layer upon layer, that you might know, that you might experience the love of God. And we're going to sort of spend some time dwelling there this morning. And we're going to do so by listening to Scripture and having some space, and there'll be some music in the background so it's not completely silent, because some of you get very nervous when it gets really quiet. And then we're going to have a time of communion, and there'll be a little bit of worship through communion, and you'll be invited to go to one of four spaces around the place. And so, and I never explain that very well, I know that, and today's going to be the day we're going to crack it, about where to go for that. But if you're kind of new or you're not sure about that, don't worry, because we'll help you on our way, and we make such a mess of it each time that it makes everyone feel very kind of welcome. We're also going to share the peace with each other. Just to remind ourselves that that God never intended us to sit in rows. He intended us to be a family. And so we're going to greet each other, and just to do that appropriately based on your level of understanding and friendship with that person. So, and if you've got a cold like I have, then there's not going to be many hugs and kisses. I might nod and wink in your direction to save you from my bugs. So that's what's going to happen. It may not always be in that order, but the idea is that we have a bit of space. We kind of create a bit of space where we can allow God to speak to us through the Scriptures, through the music, through the quiet time, through bread and wine, asking God to draw near. I was going to say, does that sound okay? But if you said no, then that'll be a really short service and we'll be going home. So thinking about, just to kind of sort of set up where we're coming from and think about where we've been in the last couple of weeks, looking at Ephesians and trying to kind of understand the whole story. We're really good at picking out verses here and there, and there are lots of verses in Ephesians that we know really well, but putting it into the whole story of what's being communicated through the book of Ephesians, this idea of God's grace, God's undeserved favor and presence in every aspect of our lives, not just for us, but for all people. Such is the nature of God's love. And last week we looked at for a few minutes about Paul's big reveal. He didn't call it that, but that's what it was. The idea that the wisdom of God in love was to smash down the wall of hostility between those who assumed that they were in God's gang and those who never thought they could possibly be called the people of God. Now, the Jews had lived with the law, with God's favor, with being God's chosen people, and they'd used that in a way that had protected the story within their own community. It was always meant to be a light to every nation, light to all the nations, not something which they kept for themselves. And they had some great signs. They had the sign of circumcision and the food laws and the Sabbath rites and all the ways in which, not to earn God's favor, but to say, hey, this sets us apart. These are great indications that we belong to God, and ergo, you don't. And what happens in Ephesians is this wonderful reveal where Paul says, well, actually, in Christ, in Jesus, in Christ's body and in his work, we see these rules are all changed. The rules of engagement are changed. God has always been for all people and wants to draw all people to himself through Jesus. There are no others in the kingdom of God. We're all invited in. And that's really chapters 1, 2, and 3 in a whistle-stop tour of what's happening there. This wonderful prayer that we're going to come to now of Paul layering prayer upon prayer upon prayer, all focused around God's love. And for a faith that is predicated on love, we still find it so hard to believe that God loves us. And especially from a tradition which is focused so much on God's grace, we spend a lot of our time trying to impress God and showing God that God is, we are worthy of God's love. Now, I have a new practice that I started this week. I've been reading a book, actually, that Lindsay left me from. She got it from Hawaii and from a thrift store. And it's a lovely little book. And one of the things it talks about is about God's love for us. And how she describes in the book how hard she finds it to get out of bed in the morning. I don't know if anyone has had that experience. Every morning. And you tell yourself in the winter, in the summer, I'll get up earlier because it'll be lighter. Now you're thinking, it's not the weather, it's me that's the problem. And she talks about this, and I'll read a quote from her book a little bit later, that actually laying in bed before everything else that's going to happen, before everything else that she's going to do in the day, before who she is and what people want from her, she knows she's loved. That's all she's got. And that's a great way to start. So that's how I've been starting my day. When my alarm goes off and I have a little bit of music playing to wake me up, but it's just a bit too loud to really wake me up. And I lay there and I think, okay, there's going to be people wanting stuff from me today. Things I have to do, things expected for of me. People who I will disappoint inevitably because that's the kind of way our lives are so often. Before all of that, I lay here in bed and know that I'm loved. And that's kind of what I want to try and tune into today for all of us. Not for you to imagine me laying in bed at all, but for us to imagine what love might look like, what it means to be loved as we are, not because of what we can do for God. So Heather's going to help me with this, and it's going to be on the screen. So we're going to read the whole scripture, the chapter 3, 14 to 21, and then we're going to read bits and bobs of it. We'll lead you through it, and there'll be some music in between to help us to focus.
When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
So we're going to spend just a moment or two just orientating ourselves, I guess, settling ourselves down. And for some of us, that's really intuitive. We like to be quiet. We like to sit quietly. For others of us, that's really hard going because everything comes rushing in, all the noise in our own minds, the questions that we have, the things we haven't done yet. And so as we kind of settle ourselves down and we become aware of the music, and you probably hear the fan, you'll hear the football, and you'll hear the cars driving past. You might even hear, if you're really good at hearing, the clock ticking. We just notice those things and don't let them distract us. And it may well be to help you to feel your body, which sounds a bit strange, but to be aware of what's happening in you today. Maybe bits of you that are a bit uncomfortable or don't work as you want them to. Or maybe you've got a cold or a headache. Maybe your back's sore. Or any one of the 101 complaints that we have in our lives. And again, don't let that distract you, but just know that's your context. That's what you bring with you today. And maybe just as we're quiet for a moment now, as we focus on the music, we can make our own prayer. It hasn't got to be a great sentence. It's just got to be, Lord, will you meet me here today? Will you come by your Spirit? For you promised where two or three are gathered, you will meet with us in special ways. So come, we pray.
When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth.
We come before the God who loves us, in whose image we are made. We come to the one who was the beginning before the beginning, the one who holds all things together, including us right now. We come before the supreme authority, the one who rules over heaven and earth, the one from which all things are born, the one who is supreme over everything. The same one, though, who welcomes us, who knows us, who's had us in mind since before the creation of the world. Who welcomes us like the prodigal's father welcomed him, with arms flung wide and a beaming smile. Come to me, come to me. I've been expecting you. So as we come, we might for a moment in the silence share how we feel, what's on our minds. We might tell God in the quietness what it's like being you. Not that God doesn't know, he does. But it might help you settle for a moment. The God who is father and mother to you, creator of all things, including you, including this moment.
I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong.
Make your home in my heart. through your abundant wealth and ability, make your home in my heart, Lord. For I so need your daily strength in me. Make your home here. For long have I desired for you to dwell. And as I'm still before you, I imagine my life opening to you. I imagine my heart ready to receive you, to dare to dwell here with me, with all my mixed motives, my fragile discipleship. And I'm conscious and grateful that my frailty doesn't deter you, for you come to me.
And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is.
Your strength furthers my faith in Christ. And as my faith increases, so too my ability to love and my longing to reach toward perfect 1 Corinthians 13 type love. I strive for this love. I want to grow in my understanding of the depth and breadth of Christ's love for me, for us, for all things.
May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
How I struggle to understand your love for me. It surpasses my comprehension. It blows me away. You, me, love. You love me. I am yours. You are mine. How I long to be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from you. I know without love I am nothing. I am empty. Without your love, I am fearful, jealous, panicky, lost, shamed. Let me let love in. Let me let you in. But I know loving requires an openness beyond understanding. It requires a daring to let you love me. A willingness to step out with a courageous faith and let you in.
Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Through each of us. The one who is able through each of us, that you would work miracles through each of us. You are able. The choice is yours. In my life, in our lives, your love, your work in me and for me, in us and for us, in this world and for this world, to your glory, for your praise. I honor you. I love you. I serve you. I connect with you. And as I do so, I am aware I am surrounded by others. Others you love. And I'm aware of our differences, of our similarities, of our idiosyncrasies, of our connections. For here is the church, God's chosen vehicle of love, through which you choose to work, to be focused on you and for you and your glory through this generation and for every generation. Thank you, Heather. So I was kind of thinking a bit about this morning. I was just reading through some of the gospel stories, and it struck me, reading through Jesus' baptism, how the voice comes from heaven, that we, as young people, loved it because it said, "With whom I'm well pleased." And when we were kids, that was very fashionable talk. That before anything, apart from getting lost in Jerusalem as a child, before Jesus had healed anybody or raised anybody from the dead, before he'd even taught parables or taken on the Pharisees, before he'd been crucified and raised again, before that, as a young man, the voice from heaven says, "He's mine and I love him." And I think that's something instructive for us. That he comes out of the water, I imagine fairly handsome but messy haired, as we all do when we come out of water. Perhaps not the handsome bit, but the messy haired bit. That's when the Father says, "I love him." I love that. That the love that the Son receives from the Father isn't based on what the Son goes on to do, but based on who the Son is. And this quote from the book I referred to earlier says this: "Before we begin the liturgies of our day, the cooking, the sitting in traffic, the emailing, the accomplishing, the working, the resting, we begin beloved. My works and worship don't earn a thing." We should write that down somewhere. "My works and worship don't earn a thing. Instead, they flow from God's love gift and God's work on my behalf. I am not primarily defined by my abilities or marital status or how I vote or my successes or failures or fame or obscurity, but is the one who is sealed in the Holy Spirit, hidden in Christ and beloved by the Father." That's who we are. And I hope there's some things we can take away from that. We're going to sing a song which is perhaps the start of our response as we kind of reflect together what it means for us to be loved as we are. We'll stand to sing. We're going to sing "Gratitude." It talks about our words running out and our hearts being inclined towards the one who loves us completely. Let's stand as we sing. You know, oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this as a pastor, that you kind of tag communion on the end of things, perhaps especially in our tradition, because we focus so much on the word, and that's kind of part of our way of doing things. But it kind of leads us to this kind of corporeal, physical, stuff-based sign that God draws near to us. You know, when we're quiet and we close our eyes and we're thinking, it's all very internalized. That's why there's something very liberating about lifting your hands in worship, even though for some of us that's kind of like really feels strange. Because we are connected, we are made of stuff, we are physical beings, and we love physical things. And to say that God doesn't love physical things is like crazy, because look around you, God loves stuff. And even by putting this front and center of the church historically, of these simple things of bread and wine, it reminds us that all these things are connected, that our prayers and our presence, that our loving each other and our praying for one another, that our eating and drinking and laughing and crying, and these are all part of the same experience about what it means to be human and what it means to live in God's kingdom. So it's very natural to say, well then, let's put bread and wine in the middle. When Jesus does the same, he kind of connects the physical with what seems to be intangible. My body is going to be broken, and this bread is going to symbolize this for you. It's going to be something very special, connecting point with you and the heavenlies when you eat this together. And similarly with the wine, it's going to remind you that actually this was not just a theoretical thinking, a kind of thought experiment, but actually I gave my life for you. I drew onto myself all the evil, all the injustice, all the unfairness. This was a physical event. And it bridges the gap between the physical and the metaphysical, the spiritual world. And whenever you eat and drink, Paul reflects later to the Corinthians, you just kind of like join in. You partake, you celebrate, you proclaim the Lord's death. It's like we're remembering it, we're putting it back together. We're saying, this is what happened. This is what it means to be God's people. And so It's right that this kind of leads us to this point this morning where we say, well, what does love look like? This is my favourite question. It'll be on my tombstone. If I ever leave this place, there'll be a little blue plaque. Here sat Pete, and all he ever asked was, what does it look like? If that's the only thing you ever remember, that's good enough for me. What does love look like? Well, it looks like this. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. This is what love looks like. Not that you love God, but that he loved you and moved towards you. Love moved first. Love always does. So today we're going to move around as we do that. And I know some of you don't like moving. If you can't move, or it's really hard to move, or you're frightened of tripping over people, then stay put. We'll come to you. There's no problem with that. But what I'd like us to do, I'd like us to share the peace with each other. It reminds us that it's very easy to come into worship and close your eyes and shut the world out. But actually, the point is we come together. And that's why I don't like sitting in rows, because you can't see what I see. And honestly, when you folk were worshiping, it took my breath away. And that doesn't happen very often. Because there's something about us, despite our differences, despite our idiosyncrasies, and despite all those things, God has called us for such a time as this to be God's people. So by sharing the peace, it kind of says, you know all that weird stuff between us? You know how strange you can be sometimes? You know how sometimes you give me that funny look and you're a bit off? That is nothing compared to the love that we share in Jesus. That's what that says. So let's share the peace with each other. Make it appropriate. And if you can give it a couple of minutes, I mean, let's share the peace, but let's not get crazy. Let's not leave the building, because we want to keep going as well. So let's share the peace. If you don't know the person, then just be friendly and say, start by not asking what their name is. Ask, tell them what your name is, and that might even start a conversation. Who'd have thought? The peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you. If we focus too much on the fact that God loves us as we are, without knowing or remembering or bearing in mind that God loves others how God loves us, which doesn't diminish God's love for us, but actually just enhances it. That look what God has done. Look what God is doing. And then the witness of the church, of course, is not about how great his coffee is, although we score pretty highly on that, but how great is their love for each other, that they somehow coalesce around this vision that God loves them. And through that love, God loves us. The community seems to be interested in that. And they come to staff and say, why? What is it about you that you love people? And our community expressed that in lots of different ways. They never say, why do you love people? They say, hey, we've never been in the hub, but I want to leave you some money in my will because I've heard what you do. And they're saying, really, we see how you love people. And that love is not because we're great people, though most of us are. It's because God loves us. And because God loves us, we love others. So our love is all part of this same connecting in with God. God is love. All the other things, God's holiness, God's justice, God's faithfulness, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, even God's anger and wrath, all come after God is love. All in the context of the love of God.